Welcome to the Run Run Live 4.0 podcast, where we plumb the daily adventure of endurance sports. Let us seize this precious moment together and squeeze the life from it like a golden lemon sent to us fresh today from the emissaries of the gods.
Terribly happy guy. Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. Then he thought that he just couldn't die. So Ned, he laughed so hard it made him cry.
Hey folks, this is Chris. Figured I owed you an update. I'm out walking with Ollie the Collie. Hey, Ollie, how are you? You're such a good boy. You are. Okay, free time. And he really is. He's matured into quite the wonderful dog. Although he is still very high strung. Typical Border Collie stuff, right? He wants to be doing stuff all the time and super smart and all that. But he takes, you know, I took him to training 3 times. And, you know, the net result of that was that he has a decent amount of training. Most importantly, the recall, right? You got to be able to get the dog to come back to you, especially in the woods like this where there's going to be other people walking. And I do let him off leash. Ooh, there's some mud there. So anyhow, we're walking out in this trail. I forget what the name of this is. But it's a pond way deep in the woods. And there's a trail that goes all around it. I know all the trails near my house. So we come over to this one sometimes. It's very scenic, very nice. Typically not a lot of people. It's just about freezing this morning. And this morning would be, what is today? April 24th? Is that right? No, March 24th. Sorry, wrong month. And I figured I need to explain. Let me explain. Wait, no. There's too much. Let me sum up. I think we last spoke in December. And if you remember, I ran the Marine Corps Marathon in air quotes ran the Marine Corps Marathon in late October, November, sometime around then. And it went exactly what I expected. Starting from scratch after 2 years off, favoring the sore knee, it went exactly how I expected. I crashed probably, 20 miles in and suffered the rest of it with a run hike. And yeah, I was overweight and really out of shape. I got some decent training in, but my paces were full, minute and a half off what I used to train at before the injury. And I understand as you get older, you get slower, but it's nonlinear. And for me, my experience is that around these injuries, you lose it in big chunks. So you go into the injury with one pace, you come out of the injury like a minute a mile slower, right? But my goal was to get to the starting line of that race, to earn the right to run the marathon again, and I achieved that goal. And then on top of that, I finished, right? So everybody's happy. Then I needed another goal, and I had already signed up for, and I think I said this before, the Napa Valley Marathon with friends. So in December, I put my head down, November, December, and I said, okay, coach, let's go. Let's train me up for this marathon. Let's take it up a level. Let's see what we can do. But then I went for that cardio scan, cardiac scan in December. My doctor sent me. And they found some blockage in somewhere in my heart, right? So, and I've learned since then that really what I have is super minor. I'm like totally in the green zone, but it's, you know, there's lessons here, right? So what are the lessons? The lessons are, first, you could be the healthiest person in the world and still have cardiac disease. Dave McGilvery, Jeff Galloway, the way you don't want to find out about it is by having a stroke or a heart attack out in the woods, right? The way you want to find out about it is go get this damn test, the cardio test, because it's like $100 and it'll tell you where you're at. And if you got nothing to worry about it, great. You're $100 short. If you do have something to worry about, you can treat it before you get beat up. So anyhow, but it really knocked me on my ass in December because I was like gearing up. I was just about to put the hammer down on this training. And I go to my doctor, I go, well, what does this mean? And he says, you know, you should probably keep your heart rate down until we figure out if there's a problem. I'm like, okay. So I said to coach, I said, well, I still want to train for this race, but we got to keep the heart rate down and we got to keep the volume down. So, you know, 3 runs a week, 7 to 10 miles, nice and slow, you know, just building pace all through December. And then I went for so the next thing they do is they send you for a stress test. All of us know what a stress test is. That's when they put you on the treadmill and they run you until you hit a magic number on your heart rate. And then they make some diagnostics based on that, right? So, but going into this, as soon as I got this other test, I was like, I was freaked, right? I'm like, hey, shit. So I immediately went vegan and dropped like 20 pounds, like in 3 weeks. And I was feeling fantastic, right? And I held that and I stopped drinking, no more beer. I held that all the way till the Napa Marathon. So like from Christmas through March 3rd, which is a good stretch of time, I held that and I got down pretty low, weight wise, and definitely cleaned out the system. Felt a lot better. So when I went to do the stress test in, I think it was probably January, I had already lost a few pounds and was living clean, and I killed the stress test. I can keep going. And they're like, no, we got the data we need. I'm like, no, man, I can keep going. You let me know. I can go all the way to the end because it's a 5-stage test where the each, 3 minutes, and every 3 minutes they raise the treadmill and speed it up. And I made it to zone 5. I'm like, I can keep going. And she's like, no, we got the data we need. I'm like, all right. So that was fun. And then, but they looked at it and they go, well, we think we see something or hear something or whatever, right? Like, great. So I did make the mistake of drinking a bunch of coffee before I went, which you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to go in without the coffee. So anyhow, that, they said we need to do another one. And we need to do it with an echo. Oh, sorry. Sorry. He should be okay. What beautiful bassets. Yeah, you are good puppies. Yeah. Happy puppies. Nice basset hounds. Good thing. No negative interaction with Ollie because I was distracted being a bad owner. So I'm like, okay, let's schedule that. Now I got this race coming up, right? So I'm like, okay, coach, can we start spinning it up just a little bit? Because I got a 10-mile long run here and I'm a month out from a marathon. So I think we may want to turn things up a little bit. And I had just about enough time to do a couple of, climbing a hill, to do a couple of step up runs. So, you know, go into it slow, bring the heart rate up, bring the heart rate up. And I managed to get in a 13 miler and a 16 miler. That was my volume, right? So I basically went into this marathon with a long run of 16 miles and a volume of like 20 to 25 miles a week, maybe. You're going to hear me spit and maybe even blow my nose a lot because I'm fighting a virus. Actually, I'm winning the fight against the virus. More on that coming as I split. Well, there's a little wind here. This may be windy. So, but the good news was I went into a 20 pounds lighter. So me and my wife went out to Napa Valley. Always do the race first thing. Don't do the race at the end of your week somewhere. Do it at the beginning. If you do it at the end, then you won't enjoy that. Give yourself the release. So I met my friends and I ran the race. Had a blast. Such a beautiful course. But it was a different course. The road that they run it on is this scenic highway called Silver Rush Trail. And it runs from Calistoga down to Napa. And it has all these curves in it, these sort of winding roadrunner curves in it. And a bunch of hills. Not horrible hills, but a bunch of hills. But the thing that got me was the camber. So the camber was like 3-4% sloping out from the center crown, which I had not prepared for. So I was undertrained and I had been running mostly on the rail trail, just flat, right? Trying to keep knee from being injured, blah, blah, blah. So by doing such low volume and taking it easy in my training cycle, I went in light and fit, but I also, hey puppy, I also went in, he wants to come out and play. He's got the fence. We're cutting through somebody's backyard on this trail. But Ollie's good. He's not an instigator. That's not Ollie barking. Ollie's just looking at him going, hey, what's your issue, dude? We're just walking. But, the second really positive thing was I was super healthy. No injuries, no niggles, nothing like that. But sure enough, a week before the race, I picked up a stinger in my heel on one of those step-up runs. And by stinger, I mean some sort of like slight bursitis in that little bursa in the heel. And I'm like, Jesus, really? So I just did pool running for the last two little workouts, which was fine. So went in, on the one hand, super light, not injured. On the other hand, very little training and no training in that last week for sure. But that's fine because that last week you already have all the hay in the barn, right? So that was good. So how'd I do? I did great, man, because I hung with the 10-minute pace group, which for me is pretty not aggressive, right? That's not aggressive running for where I am right now. And it was this nice lady, and she was really chatty, and I love chatting. And I hung with them through most of the race. I lost them a little bit at the end. But I ended up doing probably 10 to 15 minutes faster than Marine Corps. And I even split it. I slowed down a little bit at the end, but I never crashed. I never did the walk thing. And I was able to stay in the mile, run the mile I was in, have some great conversations, enjoy the scenery. It was also nice and cool and drizzly. So it was good racing weather. And I was really happy with that performance, given what I brought into it, right? I always say this, you get the race that you train for. And that was a race that I trained for, right? Everything after 16 miles was no man's land. But I knew that that I've done this before, right? So it wasn't like no man's land in the sense I've never been there before. And I kept moving, and I ran the mile I was in right to the finish. So, but one of the things that happened is, like, somewhere around the half marathon mark, because of the camber, I got this wicked cramp in my right calf. And I never get cramps, or seldom get cramps. And this one, like I was shot, you know? And it was because of that camber landing funny. And I just toughed it up. I said, okay, I'm going to keep running to loosen up. And I ran through it. But that was 3-4 weeks ago, and I still have a bit of some micro tearing in that calf that I'm going to have to work through. So then we hung out in Napa Valley for a week with our friends, drinking wine and generally leading a dissipative lifestyle. Then I flew back, had a 4-day work week, and Friday, this is last weekend, me and the wife again piled into the car and drove down to Washington, D.C., where my other daughter, my second daughter, Teresa, was doing a church wedding with her husband, Blake. They had gotten COVID married at the courthouse in a couple years ago, and now they were doing the church ceremony. So that was a lot of fun. But looking at the photos, I'm like, Jesus, dude, you are old. You are old, man. You look super old. Like Grandfather Chris. But yeah, so the next question is, what do I want to do, right? Because since the marathon, I've been kind of taking it easy, a couple sporadic runs, some workouts, and I loosened up on the eating, so I put some of the weight back on. But I'm ready, you know, when the weather turns, I just want to get out in the woods. So question is, what do I want to do? And my goals are not necessarily distance and time anymore, right? There's no distance and time goal like it was when I was doing the whole Boston thing. My goals are more go someplace interesting, work, you know, see, meet cool people, and just have fun, but also do something worthwhile. I can't shake the do something worthwhile part of it, right? It's got to be something challenging enough. Sorry, I'm just still really sick. So the other thing I got as a party favor at my daughter's wedding was this virus that's had me out all week. Another good reason not to run. And the weather's been horrible. It's been freezing and rain and snowing. Yeah. So, but it's almost done, right? So one thing in my mind is, I'm looking at doing 100K at the end of the summer. Why 100K? Because that would be my age at the end of the summer in the fall. So that would be, and also because I know it's doable, right? I know I can do that. I don't think it's 100% of a challenge for me, but also go someplace cool we haven't been before, take my wife with me, and do that thing, right? Have some fun, do something worthy. The other thing I was thinking about as I was getting ready, because I'm kind of at an ebb right now where I'm not training a lot. I'm going to get back on the clean diet, lose the weight, get down, right? If I have a lot of miles, a lot of volume, training for an ultra, that's very complimentary, right? That'll take care of itself. Just got to not get injured. And one of the things I was thinking, especially with that heel stinger, I was thinking about my shoes and wondering if now isn't the time to switch to something with less heel drop and more toe space, right? Use my feet. If I don't care about time and I've got time to be able to the transition. Maybe I'll make that transition now. I don't know. Because I think for me, given that I spent the last, 50 years running in a 6-7 heel drop, transition's probably going to be pretty hard. Hey, Ollie, come on. Good boy. Good boy. Sit. Hey, sit. Good boy. She'll say hi to you if she wants to. Yeah. You stay. Sit. He's okay. Good boy. Stay. 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 You're such a good boy. Such a good boy. Free time. Plus, get Ollie some exercise. He's putting on some weight. So anyhow, that's what I'm toying with. As far as the podcast, I'm still very deep in other projects. And I heard Seth Godin say something really interesting. I was just listening to a podcast he was doing with Tim. And he said that, you know, in order to do something new, you have to create a vacuum. Right? You have to stop doing something and create a vacuum, and then that'll lead you to your next project, right? And that's essentially what I did with Run, Run, Live. Is I stopped doing it to create that vacuum so I could work on other projects. Something that really invigorated me, which is my apocalypse book that I'm writing as a podcast. You can see my website at oldmanapocalypse.com. I'm about to finish up four seasons. That's going to be four books. Something I always wanted to do since I was a little kid, write an apocalypse book. No kidding. That is one of my childhood dreams. So, yeah, I'm going to check that off. It's been a five-year effort. And, you know, that's about how long I've been missing from the airwaves on Run, Run, Live. Sorry about that. But that's how it works, right? Yeah. Went to the doctor yesterday, finally, right? You get 4 or 5 days into a cold and you go, that's it, I can't take it anymore. You go to the clinic and they say, yeah, you got a cold. There's a virus. There's nothing we can do for you. It's not one of the viruses. You know, they got 4 or 5 of those named viruses that they're concerned about, but this is a run-of-the-mill old cold, and I haven't had one. I was thinking about it. I haven't had a cold for 4 to 6 years because I haven't been really out and about in situations where you would gather up viruses, right? So, yeah, interesting. So this one supposedly is the worst of it, and it'll be getting better. I hope so because I got to travel tomorrow. Got to get up to, you know, got a car trip. I'm going to see a client. And that's the other project I'm working on is, how long do I want to keep working in my quote unquote real job? And if I, you know, if I drop that real job, does that create a healthy vacuum for me to do other creative things? And I really like the way Seth talked about it. He goes, yeah, I do it because it's a service to people. It adds value to people's lives, not because it's a job or because it makes me money, both of which it does for him, but because it's a service and he enjoys doing it. And I think that's what kept me doing the Run, Run, Live podcast for so many years. It was a service, right? I knew there were people out there who were counting on me, who needed, for some reason, to hear my voice. So I kept doing it. And I think there's probably some gold to be mined in this next phase of my life where I'm going through this transition. A transition of maturity, let's say. So, anyhow, that's what I've been up to, folks. Sorry for the long break. Now you're all caught up. You're all caught up. And I'm getting close to my truck with my boy. And we're going to go and work on some of our creative stuff back in the home office now that we got some exercise. All right. Cheers. I'll see you out there.
And then he thought that he just couldn't die. So Ned, he laughed so hard it made him cry.